Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've entitled this evening's message, There is No Condemnation. No condemnation. And we're going to see in this study how Paul the Apostle, who wrote to the Roman church, had to figure out when he got saved how we've been learning there's a war in his members, that there was sin in his members, and there was a struggle. But then he came to an understanding that once you become saved, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, that there is no longer any condemnation. And we're going to look on how this develops tonight. But I need us to go home this evening knowing that, number one, our sins have been dealt with at the cross, and that the enemy cannot accuse you anymore of your past, of your present, and even the future. Because the Bible says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So let's get into the Word, and let's just trust God and what we will hear tonight and understand and learn. And it reads in Romans chapter 8, if you have brought your Bibles, turn with me there to Romans 8, and we're going to dissect verses 1 through 7. Here we go. And it starts off right there. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. Look at that. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That was the key to be born again. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, what? The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. And let me find the last verse and verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I didn't have it up there, but that's what verse 8 says. So let's break this all down. Let's start with Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but what? According to the Spirit. That is the key, my friends. You see, saints, we feel condemned because Satan uses past guilt and present failures to make us question what Christ has done for you and I. We have to understand that, because what God did, He did the miraculous. He did something that we cannot do for our own self. And let's look back here and go back a couple of chapters. Look at this. in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So once God justified us, guess what? The enemy now cannot condemn you. How many are so blessed to know that? That the enemy cannot condemn you? The enemy cannot dupe you. He cannot slander you. He cannot abuse you anymore. And he cannot deceive you. You see, my friends, our assurance must be focused on Christ, not our performance. You know why? Because there are times where we're going to fail. We're going to fail God. We're going to fail ourselves. But God still doesn't look at it as failure. He looks at it that we still live in this body of flesh that's not perfect. Can I get an amen? When we get the new body, we will be perfected then. Praise God. How many can't wait for that new body? I can't. Thank you, God. And so no matter how we may feel, there is no condemnation for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you surrendered your life and you gave your heart to Jesus, you became his. We've been grafted in. We've been adopted. Isn't that something? He adopted us. We weren't born Jews. We weren't the covenant people. But it was God's grace where he came to the Gentiles, you and I, and grafted us in by faith. Praise God. Praise God. And so, because we have been rescued by Christ, we are not condemned. How many are so blessed to know you're not condemned anymore? Listen, when we are thrust out of our mother's womb, we are dead men walking. We already have a death sentence. So we are already condemned to die, even as an infant. But when Jesus comes and rescues us, we are no longer condemned, but we are free people. You know, there's a lot of people on death row, and they're hoping to get the call from the governor to give them a reprieve, that they would prolong their life and sustain and keep them from dying. Well, guess what? For you and I, we don't have that condemnation no more. Christ has set us free, so we will live forever to be with him. And to belong to Christ means to have put our faith and trust in him, becoming a member of his body of believers. And many of us have many friends that are believers. We know a lot of people from other churches, they're believers. Because it is God's church, not ours. Can I get amen? Jesus said, I assure you, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. And we're going to find this in the word right now. Meaning they will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. And let's look at John 5:24 right up here. And God says it right here. Look at this. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from what? Death into life. Aren't you so blessed? What, the moment we gave our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave us eternal life. In other words, we're never going to see death of our soul no more. That is the most ferocious, the most hideous death, is the second death. The first death is the flesh going back to the grave. But only God can destroy the soul. And no one wants to be there. I know I don't. And many, the Bible says in Isaiah, hell widens its mouth every day and people drop in it. Every day. But that's not for us. Can I get an amen? Amen. God saved us. Amen. Because we're here exalting him and praising him what he did in our life. So let's go to verse 2 of Romans chapter 8. And it reads, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So now we are a free people. You know, back during the slavery days, the people that were brought from Africa, it was the most, I'm going to say, a most hideous time of history, where how can slaves or people become slaves? Well, if you look at world history, it's always been like that. Why? Because men are sinful. It's the sin nature, wanting to have dominion of others, having prominence over others. And so, saints, the life-giving spirit, capital S, you see that right up there, is the Holy Spirit, who was present at the creation of the world as one of the agents in the origin of itself. Praise God. And we see this in the very beginning. When you open up the first, what's the name of the first book in the Bible? Genesis. Oh, well, look at what it says right up here in Genesis 1 and 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit, you see that? Of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God's Spirit was there. Praise God. You see, my friends, He has the power behind the rebirth of every Christian and the one who helps us live the Christian life. Did you know that we need His help every day? Did you know that if it wasn't for the Lord, we couldn't walk this walk that we're walking right now by faith? We would have no desire. We would want nothing to do with this religious book that's called the Bible. But because of the Holy Spirit, God has given us life and life more abundantly. And now we are learning the truth of God. How many love the truth? Yep. Jesus said, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. Look what He wrote in John chapter 8. John wrote this down. Look at this. In John 8:32, it reads this. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. And they answered Him, hey, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And so Jesus answers it in the next verse. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. You see, because of God's grace, we will abide with God forever. And how long is forever? Forever. This is not a temporary journey. This is not what Satan does with the unregenerate. He uses and abuses them. He pulls over and throws them out of the car, uses them up, and they're done. And many of them are strung out. Many of them are lost. Many of them are condemned. Many of them give up. The unsheltered people, look at them. Did you know that every one of them have a story how they got there? Every one of them. They have a story. It's different from one another, but yet they still got to that place. Well, the origin of that is Satan. The origin of that is sin. The origin of that is condemnation that the enemy probably used against them that brought them into that place. But this is why God is using us to reach them. Can I get an amen? To bring truth to them, to help them. The Holy Spirit sets us free. And it's once and for all. Praise God. And it's from what? The power of sin and its natural consequence. And what is it? It's death. And so, it's amazing how that happened when sin entered into the world. So let's move on now to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Look at this. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by what? Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So God had to come down. He had to leave his throne and to become like us. But the only difference is he had no sin. How many are so blessed to know that he had no sin? Because he was conceived by what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And then they call it the miraculous, what? Conception? It's amazing that no human male touched her, but God did. And so the God-man came out. So who's the one now? If that's the case, who's the one that continues to spread the sin seed? The males. Because she was a sinner too. But it was the Holy Spirit that came upon her. So if it was a male, a human, it would have sin. Are you catching this? So God, who has no sin, had to come upon her. And the child came without no sin. But if it was a male, human male, that child would have sin. That's why God had to come from heaven to be like a man, to die for our sin. You know what? For the person that don't understand it, it's mumble jumble to them. It's a fairy tale to them. Try to explain that to your unsaved family, your friends. You know, they're going to say, you believe all that nonsense? It's not nonsense, is it? It's the truth. And until God gives us an understanding, until God opens up our eyes and gives us ears to hear and eyes to see, you're not going to see it. But when you become saved, you learn to embrace it because you love it. You understand it's true. Can I get amen? So freedom over sin never can be obtained by obedience to the law. You could be a goody-good two-shoe person all your life. You could tiptoe through the tulips all your life, but that's not going to get you into heaven. Can I get amen? It won't. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature. But what the law can't do, God did by sending his own son in a human body like ours, except ours is very sinful. His was not. Can I get amen? And so we see this as truth because it's mentioned in the Word. And where do you find where Jesus comes and is the truth? We find this in John 1:14. Look at this, right up here. John 1:14. And the Word, who is the Word? Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? With God, and the Word is God. Right? So we see that God had to come in the form of flesh to die on a hideous cross, to shed his blood, so that we can become saved. Wow. I know for some people it sounds too incredible, but for us as believers, we embrace it. We adhere to it. We say, thank you, God. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Can I get amen? Amen. And so with the same desires that we yield to sin, yet Jesus never sinned. Look what it says right here in Hebrews. Chapter 7, 17. Look at this. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. What does that mean? That means that fleshly man could have never gone to the cross. But because Jesus was like a type. You ever read Melchizedek? How he showed up during Abraham's time? He appeared to Abraham, and he was the first one to give a tenth. He showed offering, and everyone, every theologian believes that he was Christ that came in the form of a man, appeared like a man to Abraham. And that's why it's mentioned in Hebrews. Now look at this. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote to them and said, look at this. For he made him, who? Who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So it says, for he made him, God made Jesus, look at that, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. So he became our substitute. He's our propitiation, meaning he had to come and shed his blood because no one on earth could have shed their blood to take away the sin of mankind. It had to be God and God alone. So Christ took on humanity in order to be a sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And because Christ was sinless, his death passed the death sentence. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that when they thought they killed him, he rose again? Woo! And because he rose again, we will rise with him. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so, he destroyed the control of sin that was upon us. We had a death sentence, and God came down to destroy it. Now, in the Old Testament times, animal sacrifices were continually offered at the temple. How many are so blessed to know that we don't bring animals now to the altar? Man, it would be a bloody mess, wouldn't it? And there would be stench in the place. Oh my gosh. I don't know how they did that without puking. But they did it. They somehow did it, amen? These animals were brought to the altar, had two important characteristics. They were alive, and they were without blemish, without flaw. They looked for the most perfect animal to bring in. The sacrifices showed the Israelites the seriousness of sin. Innocent blood had to be shed before sins could be what? Pardoned. And praise God, our sins have been pardoned at the cross. Amen? Amen. Look what it says here in Leviticus, right up here. In Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. So, in the Old Testament, this method was used temporarily. But it was a foreshadow of what was to come. And it would be the ultimate sacrifice. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. He would do away with that type of sacrifice. And now, once and for all, he came to the cross. And now all we have to do is come to him by faith. How many are so blessed? We just have to cry out in faith. Oh God, I believe what you did for me. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. I believe you. I will live with you forevermore. And then we invite him to come in. And the Bible says he comes in like a rushing mighty wind. He comes in to sup with you. Meaning, he comes in to fellowship with you. He comes in, hallelujah, to be your God, to be your Savior, to be your Lord. He's your all in all. He's everything that we need. How many believe that he's all that we need?
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. He's everything that we need. Praise God. So he could, it was so that he could serve as the flawless sacrifice for your sin and my sin. In him, in the Lord, our pardon is complete. How many people that are probably in prison right now, and some of them got caught, and they were mistakenly caught? And the only thing right now in our modern time is going back and using DNA to show that they were wrongfully accused. But just imagine if they find out through the DNA that they did not commit that crime, and yet they spent 30 years in prison. And then finally, the truth came to the surface, and they were set free. What do you think that person feels like after 30 years behind bars? Wonderful. You would feel like, oh my gosh, I'm free now. Yeah. Well, how come we don't feel like that when we become saved? We should feel every day that, guess what? We're not going to hell. Guess what? We're going to be with Christ one day to live with Him forever. Every day should be a Super Bowl day with us. Even as we go through the issues of life, we're going to go through things. We're going to have challenges. We're going to be challenged by sickness, sometimes poverty, sometimes financial issues, relational issues, and the list will go on. But set that aside. We're going to be with Him forever. He's going to be our God, and we're going to be able to worship Him 24/7 without a clock on the wall. See, we're bound to time here on earth. And our flesh is on time limits. You know that? We have term life insurance here. Our life is termed. We get up in the morning. We spend our day, most of the day. And then we go to bed, and we got to turn in, and we got to rest the body, right? So these are terms of the body, of the flesh. But when we get the new body, that's going to be done away with. Can I get an amen? Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not going to be tired. Matter of fact, last night at the men's study, man, praise God for Pastor Art. I said, you finally had one of them. He had a dream, and he was sharing it with all of us, that he would just take a few steps, and then he was flying. I've had so many dreams of flying. Just flying, soaring. And then you would just land and when you wanted to, and then you would just fly when you wanted to. I've had so many of those dreams, and I didn't want them to quit, because they felt so exhilarating. And he had one. I go, brother, have you thought? I asked him this. Have you thought for just one moment that that could be a prophetic dream? Because when we get the new body, Jesus floated away. He flew away. When he rose again and had the new body, right in front of all his disciples, he flew away. And they were like, oh my gosh. And the angel that was there said, what are you gazing at? This same Jesus who went away is going to come back in the same like manner. Whoa, hallelujah. How many so blessed to know that? Come on, you got it. Man, so that dream was like so prophetic. I go, brother, you don't know how many dreams I had. I had them when I was young, when I was a teenager, when I was a young adult. And later on, I've had many. I've had at least 10 of those dreams. Just flying. And I really believe that God has shown us that that's what we're going to do when we get the new body. Because guess what? It's not going to be confined to gravity here on earth. Can I get amen? Amen. This fleshly body is confined to the law of gravity. And I'm glad that we have gravity, or we float away. And as soon as we get to the first atmosphere, we would fry. We would get disintegrated. So God has to keep us contained walking on this earth. But the new body, we're going to be soaring. I can't wait. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. And so the tables are turned so that not only is there no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, but also the very sin that guaranteed our condemnation is itself condemned by Christ's sacrifice. So God had to condemn the sin that was against us. Aren't you so blessed? He condemned sin in the flesh? Wow. That's something that is hard to grasp, but that's what he did. Look at this. In Romans 4 now, Romans chapter 8, verse 4, that the righteous of requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to what? The Spirit. And so, saints, the requirement of the law is what? Holiness. That was the requirement of the law. Look what it says in Leviticus right up here. Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy. For what? I am holy. Neither shall you what? Defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy. For what? I am holy. And then in Leviticus 19:2, look at this. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy. For what? I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is reiterated several times in the Old Testament, but do you know it's mentioned in the New Testament as well? So look at this in Leviticus 27. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. But the law is powerless to make us holy because of our innate sinfulness. Because of our human sinfulness, did you know it's impossible to be holy in our sin, in our flesh? This is why he had to condemn sin in the flesh. Oh, you're getting it now. If you don't get it now, you'll get it in a few minutes. God had to condemn that sin. Because why? We couldn't stand before a holy God in our sinfulness. So he had to die and condemn it and shed his blood to cover our sin. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us become holy. The Holy Spirit provides the power internally to help us to do the law required of us externally. And so it's easy for this flesh to make up stuff. Oh, I can't do that. Well, the Bible says with Christ, all things are possible. What does it say in Philippians? How do you quote that one verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, we can, right? But look at this. Look at this in John 14:26. But the helper, who's the helper? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. So it'll be God to instruct us. It'll be God to help us. Now, here's the thing. Before we become saved, we don't truly understand the fruit of the Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, now the power of Christ, the living God is living in us. Now what flows through us, and it should flow automatically, the fruit of the Spirit. You see, a non or unregenerated person cannot operate in the things of the Spirit. Just like that man that pulled me outside on Sunday. He was thinking already that I hated the guy. I go, I don't even know your name, sir. Please stay and enjoy the service. But this is what unbelievers struggle with. Right up here, look at this. In Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified what? The flesh with its passions and desires. So once you become His, now we can learn to crucify the flesh. We talked about that. We prayed that in our prayer. That at one time, all these idols were in front of us. Guess what? Now they're behind us. Now they don't rule us no more. We can still enjoy those things, but we don't put them in front of God. We set them aside. If we have time, we'll go watch it as entertainment. But when God wants us to meet, that's number one on the agenda. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That we would come together in the unity of the faith to learn from Him. That we would grow in Christ Jesus. You see, my friends, Paul has already made it clear that the law is powerless to save. The law couldn't save us. So why do its requirements still need to be met? You ever ask yourself that? Well, the law is God's law and was never meant to be cast aside. Did you know that the Ten Commandments are still intact? They're still intact. Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, I didn't come to change the law. I came to fulfill it. So in other words, God's law is still in place. And so He speaks against the obedience to the law that stays merely at the level of the flesh, such as being circumcised because the law required it, and the obedience that depends on God's Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. Only the latter fulfills the law. When we live according to the Holy Spirit, we actually do meet the requirements of the law. So let me just ask you this question. How many laws were there in the Old Testament?
613.
Come on. All right. Okay. The Bible says if you break one, if you break one of them, you've broken them all. Okay, so that's why Jesus said, I want you to focus on two. If you can focus on these two, guess what? Then the whole law is covered under that. And what is the two? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. And then it goes on to say that all the laws of Moses and the prophets all hinge on these two. So here's the thing. I need you to catch this. God's law, we think it's the do's and don'ts. If you look at it like that, it's impossible to fulfill them. Oh man, I got to do that. Oh man, I can't meet that requirement. Oh man, I can't meet that standard. Oh man, I can't achieve that. You can't. It's impossible. So the key is to fall in love with Jesus. Because when you love the Lord, He says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So when you fall in love with Him, guess what? The law doesn't become now a burdensome stumbling block to you. Now you're going to learn how to embrace it. You're going to learn how to obey it. It'll be through love, not by a task.
Right.
Not by, you got to do this. Or you get the finger pointed at you. Oh, come on. We're like that. You know, we do this. Like, I'm watching you. Well, so is God. Yeah. As you're watching me, God is watching you. Oh, come on. And so, so we have to understand that when you fall in love with God, you will learn and love the things of God. And you'll slowly grow to those things. It doesn't happen overnight. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I mean, like a... Okay, so when an infant comes into the world, do you take him to the Texas Roadhouse and give him a steak? And ram it down the little baby's throat? He'll choke. Well, when a brand new Christian comes into the saving knowledge, you don't want to give them meat yet. You want to give them milk. You got to slowly work with them. And guess what? They'll learn to understand. But it'll take time. Don't expect it overnight. There's an old saying that if you skin a fish too deep, you'll see a bunch of blood instead of getting the scales. And sometimes we want to get the scales off of people and we, what, cut too deep? And then they start bleeding. And then we walk away and let them bleed. Not knowing we just hurt them. Because we think they didn't meet that standard. We got to be real careful with souls. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Be careful with them. Especially young babies in Christ. Don't be judgmental. They have to have room. I like to say it like this. You got to give everyone room, especially when you just get saved. Because they're going to soil their pants every now and then. And so, they'll clean up. And go right back at it again and grow. And watch them come into that saving, I mean, that wonderful relationship with God. And so let's move on to verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Saints, we will struggle constantly with sin and its temptations until the resurrection takes place. Until we get that new body, we're going to constantly be at war with the flesh. But that's okay. That's okay. It's not a reason to give up. If you're fighting against the flesh, that's a good sign, guess what? That you haven't surrendered to it. People who decide to follow their sinful nature will be dominated by it and think about sinful things. So we just read what? The fruit of the Spirit. But the one thing that we have to caution ourselves is the works of the flesh. And that's right up here. The works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. The word sorcery, we talked about that. That's not Merlin and his magician hat. That comes from the Greek word pharmakia, meaning it is all drug-related issues. With sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy. Look at outbursts of wrath. You don't know people like that, do you? Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Look at that. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, who, as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here's the good news for us. This is what God delivered us from. Can I get amen? Because every one of us at one time wallowed in this. This was our MO. And for some, there's some of you that grew up really morally sound and you were really good and you obeyed your parents, your school teachers. You know, you stayed at the speed limit at 55 or 65. You didn't go 1 mile past that. You were so good. But guess what? You still needed Jesus. You still needed Jesus. Can I get an amen? And so, believers do not need to live in sin because they can now live controlled by what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I'd rather be controlled by the Spirit of God than the mind of the flesh. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because we got to look at it one more time. One more time. Right up here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no what? There is no law. In other words, it's endless. You can have as much as this as you want. And it's endless with God. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Amen. Let's move on now to verse 6. Look at this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Praise God. Saints, the mind refers to our mindset, our goals. Choosing to let the sinful nature be in control will result in death, both spiritual and physical. So the unregenerated person does not know how to choose the things of God. So they will end up in a place of torment lest they repent and receive Christ. Choosing to let the Holy Spirit, though, control our minds will bring us full life on earth. That's why Jesus said, I come to give you life, and life what? More abundantly. How many of you are living the abundant life? Yeah. Oh, yes. We wouldn't be here tonight if we weren't living the abundant life. Because the people that live and walk in the abundant life want more of Him. They want to be strengthened by Him. They want to be around like-minded people. They want to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Choosing to let the Holy Spirit control our minds will bring us full life on earth, eternal life, and peace with God. But elsewhere in Scripture, we find the characteristics of a mind under the Spirit's control. It will be a mind directed toward truth and the awareness of the Spirit of God's presence. Aren't you so blessed when you know you're in the presence of God? You sense His presence. You know He's there. Praise God. Look what it says in John 14. Look at this. In John 14:7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. He's talking to the people of his day that didn't know who he was. Look at this. And you have also, from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Look what Jesus said. I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? See, Philip and many others, doubting Thomas, they had a problem with Jesus. But Jesus was right. How many of you would have loved to have been there touching Jesus? Yes. Getting a hug from him. Having him touch you and you're whole. Oh, come on. I would love for him to touch me and 70 pounds just gets lopped off. Come on. It'd be so nice. Here, go back to when you were 17. Here, boom. Look at verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or what? Or else. You see, my friends, it will be a mind seeking to please the Holy Spirit. We need to have that mind to please God. Can I get an amen? Look what it says in Galatians 6:8. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. So it will also be a mind active in memorizing and meditating on God's word of Christ. How many of you study God's word that you can quote scriptures now? Yeah. And let me tell you, you may be in a conversation with someone and you may be talking about the things of God and then a scripture comes up. God just brings it right out because it's stored in you already. It's stored. God stores it. But look what John 14, 26 says. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will what? Teach you all things and bring to your what? Remembrance. All the things that I said to you. And then it will be a mind sensitive to sin. Look what he says in John 16 right here. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Look at verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is what? Judged. Do you know that there's already, that Satan's already condemned? He's been judged? And it's going to be in God's timing that what? He will throw him in the lake of fire. Thank you, God. How many can't wait for that moment? Thank you, Jesus. So one of the keys that we would never, and I'm talking about this tonight's message, that there is no condemnation, is to continue to walk in the Spirit. Continue. Because the flesh can deceive us. Ungodly people can try to, what, tarnish you. And they'll try to get you off track. They'll try to get you mad. Just like the guy who was telling me Sunday, I already see that you don't want me here. I don't even know him. I didn't even know his name. You know, trying to get me to flinch. So that I could prove to him, aha, I knew that's who you are. I go, you know, we can't fall in those traps, right? It was a trap. And I said to myself, God, thank you for allowing me to just walk away and go back inside. Don't engage with him. He's not in his right mind. He doesn't know the things of God. And just pray for him that he comes into the saving knowledge. Because, you know what, when I walked in, God had to remind me, hey, weren't you like him too? I was worse. I was worse. I couldn't condemn him. I couldn't get mad at him because I was like that. So it will be a mind eager to follow the Spirit's guidance. Once again, when we finally adhere to the Holy Spirit and we're walking without any condemnation, it'll be a mind eager to follow the Spirit's guidance. Look at Galatians 5:16 right up here. Look at this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Meaning there's a battle, a constant battle. Every day you wake up, the flesh wants to do something, and the Spirit says, no, I want you to go this way. And so that you do not, what? Do the things that you wish. Now, the control of the Holy Spirit begins with voluntary commitment and submission to Christ. We're coming in for a close. Let's go to verse 7 of chapter 8. Here we go, right up here. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Do you understand what that means? The carnal mind is enmity against God. That means when we come into this world, we're already rebels without a cause. We're already running away from God. The moment we start to crawl and to walk as little tiny toddlers, we're walking away from God. God is not in our mind. And as we get older, he's still not in our mind. Until God comes and turns our heart toward him, we're walking away. Because our carnal mind, meaning our unregenerated mind, the natural man, the human mind, it wars again. There's a gulf. There's an enmity. meaning there's a wall that separates God and our mind, God's mind and our own mind. Until God brings that wall down, we can never blend it together. Until God does that miraculous work. That's why, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. This proved to me, when I was a young adult, I used to tell people and preach to people that there was no God. We would go down and party at Rosarito, and we would, I would have my brother Dale, I managed his DJ team. It was called the Mean, he was the Mean Mixing Magic Man. And I'll never forget, we went down there with a whole bunch of family and friends down at Rosarito Beach. We took a motorhome there. And my brother Dale was out there spinning the tables. And all we did, the next morning, all you saw was a sea of Corona bottles. But that whole night, I was telling everybody, there ain't no God. Because the subject came up. We were around like a fire that night. And there was still people dancing and stuff. But I was around a bunch of people that we were just conversing. Getting high, drinking, trying to convince people there was no God. Because my carnal mind couldn't understand the things of God. So I was naturally like that. And so this spoke volumes. When I got saved and I read this before, I go, wow. I couldn't see God back then. And so don't get mad at your unsaved friends and family. They can't see God. They don't know who God is. Can I get amen? And until God saves them, they are who they are, and pray for them. Pray that they come into the saving knowledge. We pray tonight for family members. Continue to pray for them. That God will do the work like he did in our life. Nothing's too hard for God. I hope you know that. Nothing's too hard for him. And so we look at our last verse in verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So this is why we need to be in the Spirit. Amen. We need to walk in the Spirit. You see, those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God because they are not interested only in themselves and have cast aside the one and only power that can defeat sin. Jesus is the only one that can defeat sin. The mind directed by the sinful nature can only be devoted to its own self-gratification, which will lead to destruction. Every human being has a sinful nature that comes into this life. But believers in Christ have access to the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? In fact, Paul says, the Spirit of God lives in you. And so believers are still living in this body of flesh, but because we are born again, we also have God's Spirit living inside us. The question is, who is in control? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control? Or are we allowing the flesh to be in control? And so I'm going to end tonight's study with this. But I'm going to truly believe that maybe someone has logged in and maybe they're struggling in their human nature. Maybe they've never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what a great opportunity that we can all pray for them, right? So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for them. You may be watching first, second, third time, and maybe God has touched your heart, and maybe it's time now to surrender your heart to Christ. Well, we're going to believe that God will do this tonight. And even if you watch this stream 2 days, 3 days from now, God will still anoint it and touch you wherever you're at. And so we're believing that this message is not in vain, that God will give you ears to hear and eyes to see. So if that's you, we're going to ask that you bow your heart and your head and pray this simple prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is he worthy? Come on. He is worthy. And we are so blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.